Right, I'd like to introduce for our final session today Thomas Drujan and Mathieu Trelawney from INA in Paris, in France, with their paper.
So, good afternoon, everyone. So today we will do a presentation with two voices. So I'm Thomas Drujan from the INA. I'm working on the Web Legal Deposit project, the research and development part. And Matteo Trelawney, who is doing his PhD at the INA on the human sciences aspects of accessing an archive. So first, we have several collections at the INA. We basically have 60 years of TV program and 70 years of radio program. The INA exists since 1974, but we have older programs than that. And starting in 1992, we were given a new mission, which is the legal deposit of the TV and radio French programs. So now we have collections of 4.5 million of TV and radio. And with the legal deposit that is archiving 24 hours a day, 100 TV and radio channels, we have one additional million of hours archived every year. So now the question of, the first mission of this department in the INA is to preserve, promote, and transmit all those archives. So now we are thinking about, we are extending this legal deposit to the web with a legal deposit law in 2006, and we are sharing this mission with the BNF, which is the French National Library, and the web being seen as an extension to our respective collections. So the INA is developing tools and methods to collect and archive and preserve these collections. So the domain of the web that that the INA is in charge of is the audiovisual information on the web, the French audiovisual information on the web. So we clearly have a focus on audiovisual contents, video and audio. But so the first reaction would be to say, okay, why not just archive the audio and video content from the web and put them on DVDs or hard disks and handle them just as we do for the TV and radio? But this is clearly, it doesn't appear realistic, because the web is not just cannot be seen just as a way to access the contents. It is really becoming a media which puts video and audio contents in relations, in relation with pages and so on, textual contents. And so clearly, it appears that archiving the French audiovisual information on the web is in fact archiving websites that are related to the French audiovisual media. So when we decide to archive something on the web, we take the whole website, because we want the context and the information that is around the document. So we've been doing this for a little bit more than 1 year now. We started with 3,000 websites, and we have 6,000 websites. And we now have 2.5 billion objects in the archive. So by objects, I mean HTML pages, video, audio files, and so on. So it's 260 terabytes, with a big part of it being videos and audio contents. The second line, I'm sorry, it's not contents, it's audio. 19 million. We also have developed a special file format, which is DAF, Digital Archiving File Format, specialized for these type of archive. And so we, instead of having 260 terabytes on disk, we only have 21 terabytes because we are handling the redundancy and the compression. So the fact that a video or a page can be seen on several websites or several times on the same website. The method that we are using mostly rely on the fact that the web cannot be seen as a broadcast media, like TV or radio. There is no stream, there is no broadcast stream that is the same for every user, and there is no explicit path that we can follow to get the updates or to follow the document, like we turn pages of a book or like when we watch a TV program. So in fact, the web is an interactive media. It responds to interactions of the user. So if we want to archive the web, we cannot capture a broadcast stream, so we have to discover and recreate these interactions in order to archive it. So this is called crawling, and this is typically done by search engines like Google. So we do the same. We use programs that follow links inside the pages, download the pages, and list all the links, and goes on until the whole website has been downloaded. So the second aspect is that the web is growing and is changing in an unpredictable way. We are not informed when a page is updated. We can just estimate the changes, and we have to visit the page or the content in order to know if it was updated or not. So we do sampling, in fact. This is not a continuous collect. This is more a sampling method. But just concerning the sampling, we have developed a system that we try to collect more often the pages that we think change more often. So we have a very basic and simple method, which is we capture more often the main pages of the websites, so the index page and the pages that are directly linked by the index page. And the deeper you go inside the website, the less updates you will see, because when an article or a content is updated, most often it's pointed on the index page. So we have different update frequencies, which goes from 10 times a day for the main pages to maybe once a week or once a month for the deeper pages. So with this, we can recreate the web inside the archive, because to access the web, you cannot just press a play button. You have to, the user, the researcher that is consulting the, that is accessing the archive inside the legal deposit system, will have to browse the archive as he does on the normal web. So in fact, we have to recreate all the interactions that were crawled inside the archive to make it browsable. So in fact, we are simulating the web as it was when it was crawled. So, but all those principles, crawling, sampling, and simulating have their limits. So first, during the crawling, we have to automatically simulate interactions, but some are more difficult than others. So for example, it's very difficult to archive contents that are under a formulary or under behind the complicated interactions. The crawling process cannot simulate all the possible interactions. So we'll have missing contents, and so that can be part of a website that are missing, pages, or maybe elements inside a page, a video. Because, for example, one of the most difficult things to capture, in fact, is video players like YouTube, Dailymotion, and so on. There are many of them, and the way the video is playing inside the online player is quite difficult because they have most of the time they have systems to prevent users to download the video, so it goes against the crawling systems. So during the sampling, we also have limits. We try to oversample the pages because we have a storage system that can handle redundancy, so we can crawl more than we need, but we still are missing some updates on pages because some changes are really unpredictable and can happen at any time. And also, maybe the biggest problem is that we cannot just crawl a whole website in one minute. We have to take several hours to crawl the whole website because we have to take some time not to overload the web server. So, in fact, when we archive a page and we follow a link to another page, maybe this other page will be crawled several hours after the first one. And the same goes for the elements inside the page. So we try to download the element at the same time as the page, but it's not always feasible. So we may have problems there. Finally, when we are simulating the browsing inside the archive, we also have problems. So the first one being that this is, in fact, a dead web. You cannot do trend reservation or Google search, but it's not really an issue. It's normal for an archive. But the problem is, the other problems are that some interactions are missing because we failed to crawl them. And also, we can have inconsistencies between pages and inside the pages. So it's quite difficult for the user to deal with this. And so Matteo will present you some situation where this can be a problem.
Thank you, Thomas. So which are the main consequences of the technical problems that Thomas has explained? The first one is the non-integrity of web documents, where integrity is the fact that the document hasn't been altered. So we can have inconsistency in the same page where some elements of the page are not coherent from the point of view of the date, for example, with the other elements. This means that the legal deposit of INA archives traces. It's some kind of archaeology, is what we call them, because from fragments we have to reconstruct the documents. So the question that we pose is how to preserve authenticity and reliability when we cannot depend on the material integrity. So authenticity is the fact that the document is what it pretends to be, which means that a web page of the New York Times from the 21st of November 2008, for example, must be what we could find on the newyorktimes.com the 21st of April 2008. Reliability is the fact that we can trust the document and its content. So the content is what the document says about the history, where he comes from. This means that reliability is always dependent on a recontextualization made by the patrimonial institution. So these two concepts are semantic concepts. They depend on the fact, on the interpretation that we can give on the document. Integrity is a material concept. This means that to preserve authenticity and reliability, we can reconstruct the meaning of documents from traces, from fragments of web pages that we have archived in the legal deposit. It's some sort of archaeological practice. So we have a preeminence of the meaning precedes the material form, and we thus have to find the material elements that influence the meaning. For example, to preserve the meaning of a video that has been posted on the web means to preserve the significant elements of the context that influence the meaning of the video. The context always influences the meaning of a video posted on the web, but not all the items of the context have the same impact on the interpretation. We thus have to find to find the elements to preserve in order to preserve the archival value of the document. That means its correct interpretation. So let's see an example of this kind. On ina.fr, that's the web TV of INA, we can find a news program from 1964 where they talk about the relocation of the Eiffel Tower. The video provoked some sort of buzz on the web, and many bloggers asked if the Eiffel Tower had really been relocated. So the Eiffel Tower has never been relocated, but we have to read the context to understand what kind of news program was. So which is the methodological approach that we can use to understand which elements influence the meaning of the video, of the news program about the Eiffel Tower relocation. A methodological approach that we use comes from linguistics, and it's the commutation test. So the commutation test consists in the substitution of an item of the expression, and the expression is, for example, the sound of language, to see if this causes a modification on the semantic level of the language, so on the meaning. For example, to change the phoneme of a word, to substitute P avec with B on the word peer, this causes a changing in the meaning. And if we had a changing of pronunciation, for example, we didn't have the same effect on the meaning. So we can make the same thing on the elements of the context, so the elements of the web page, and to see which elements influence the meaning of the video, the archival video. So, for example, to substitute the banner, the publicity about Mythic, doesn't implicate a great changing on the interpretation of the document. The title is important, but we have to go to the categorization to understand what we are talking about. So the categorization is divertissement bêtisier, that means it's a joke. So INA is telling us that this is not a reliable document from the historical point of view, it's a joke. But we have to make an inference from the date to understand what kind of joke is this, and it's an April joke. It was the 1st of April, 1964. So this was a very simple example where we have a video posted on the web and three or two elements that influence its meaning. But actually, web documents are often complex documents and always refer to a large spectrum of cultural elements, not only elements that are present on the web, but also other elements that are present on other medias, on the television or on the press. So the problem, most of all, is not only to understand how the context influences the meaning of the video, but is to understand where the document ends and where the context begins. So we can invert the perspective and make the hypothesis that that meaning can be reconstructed through narrativization. Narration is the base of meaning in all semiotic theories, so in theories that speak about the meaning. And we can thus make a narrativization in basing on the research of clues, just like Sherlock Holmes did in his researches. And that's the critical historical approach that the historian Carlo Ginzburg used in his Middle Ages researches, and that he called evidential paradigm. So clues here should be the significant elements that we have found through the commutation test, just like the date that permitted to make the inference about the joke of the relocation of the Eiffel Tower. So let's see an example about this narrativization based on clues. On Dailymotion, the channel of Dailymotion gameblog.fr, we have found a news report on the French television channel, the public French television, France 2, from the 21st of November 2004, where they talked about the collective suicide of 147 people in Japan. So the context explains that the news of France 2 was an amalgam of fake news. But apparently, the 147 people committed suicide because of a delay in the release of a video game called Dead or Alive. So it's really strange, but we have to understand how the French television could make such an error. We have to research then the commentaries to find a link that lets us understand that France 2 cited an article which was appeared in the newspaper Libération and that reported a collective suicide in March 2004. The source of the article, in fact, was a blog post, and we have found the blog post, where someone talked was ironizing, he was satirical, and he was talking about the delay in the coming out of Dead or Alive, and he made the joke about the collective suicide of the people who was too interested in the release of this product. So, in fact, after the publication of the news reportage on France 2 and the article on Libération, the editors of the blog Xbox Mag, advised France 2 and Libération, and the day after, Libération presented a rectification, and the 26th of November, France 2 announces the error, blaming the Anglo-Japanese press. In fact, their only source was Libération and the post on the blog. So what it reveals, these examples? First of all, the intrinsic value of a web document. The only way, the most complete way to reconstruct these events is the web and an archive of the web. An archive of television and an archive of the press wouldn't be sufficient. But also the problem of the completeness of traces. In fact, to understand the events, we need no less than three web pages that are often not interrelated. So the video posted on Dailymotion, the original post on Xbox Mag, and the post on Xbox Mag, which explained the errors. But the web always refers to and remediates other medias, so we should have the archival video on France 2 that we have conserved at INA, at the INA Tech, and the original articles appeared on Libération, so the article of the press. That means that we have seen the web documents are fragmented and complex documents from a material point of view, but they are complex and complicated also from the point of view of interpretation, from a semantic point of view.
So the question is, how can we help the researcher that is accessing the archive through the web legal deposit to reconstruct the narration? So the first thing we could do is to improve the completeness. We could add all the websites that seem relevant inside the domain of the archived website, and we could also improve the crawling system and sampling system to have more versions and to have more complete document. But that's not always feasible, and we are always in the best effort phenomenon because there are so many technologies and so on. So we will have missing contents anyway. So we have to stress the fact that the archive is not the web. It's an archived web. It's only an archive of traces. And we have to stress this and explain this to the researcher. To do this, we have to give access to the researcher to all the information that we add during the collect and during the crawling. So all the technical difficulties and all the problems. And these this information gives clues to the researcher. And to do so, we need to develop tools to help the researcher to organize and exploit those clues. Because we cannot just give them a list of missing links and of inconsistencies in dates. We have to find ways to underline missing contents inside a page or differences in dates and so on. So this is quite difficult, but we are now doing special methodological workshops in the ENA. Every month we have a session with audiovisual researchers and archivists and documentalists, and we try to organize all the information and see what tool we can develop. We've done the same for the TV and radio legal deposits in 1992, and we've developed special tools like Media Corpus that were quite used by the researcher. So we are working on this, and we'll see what comes out. And that's all. So thank you for your attention. And if you have questions.
Thank you very much indeed. Have we any questions? Yes. Howard.
Hi. Thank you. Very interesting. I have a comment and a question. First of all, I don't think you really need to feel guilty that people will see some of these things that are inaccurate. You know, we have Orson Welles' War of the Worlds broadcast. The Bibliothèque Nationale has old issues of Charlie Hebdo. They don't tell people that that is not real. So I don't know how far you have to go with this. I think it's interesting, but ultimately, this is the researcher needs to do most of that type of evaluation of the veracity of the work. Mm-hmm. So that's the statement. Now the question: how do you handle content management systems, which are now the way that most people put things up on the web? So when they put things up in a content management system, everything you're doing is based essentially on browsing. What about searching in a content management system? Have you figured out any way of dealing with that? Because that is really where websites are.
Yes.
Most recent websites are.
In fact, we are not dealing with the server side part. So even if it's from a database or from static files or anything, for us it's the same because we are only interested in the client part. So we are browsing links, and when we follow a link, even if it triggers a database request and a complex system. It's the same as if it's just a file that is downloaded. We have a URL that is clicked and a result, and that's all we are interested in.
Right. So that only works for browsing, but not for searching.
No, it doesn't work for searching.
Doesn't work for searching at all.
For example, for Google, what we could do is to use the new feature that is. I don't know. You know, you start to type a letter and you have. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We could use that to simulate some common requests and archive the results. Yeah. But we cannot archive the server side part of Google. We cannot archive Google system.
Right.
So, and we don't want to.
No. But I'm thinking more of the audiovisual sites that have things like that.
Yes. For example, for Dailymotion or YouTube, what we try to do is to download the videos. But we cannot recreate all the interactions that the player is doing. For example, the related videos and so
right.
on. So it's very difficult. So most of the time, we embed our own player instead of the YouTube or Dailymotion player. So it's more limited, and we have to tell the researcher that it's not the original player, but then we can play the video without problem.
Okay. We have another question just down here.
One question. Include commercial radio and TV?
Sorry?
Commercial radio and TV?
On the TV?
Commercial comerciales.
Yes, the ads. Yes, they are archived on the TV, on the radio, and we try also to archive them on the websites. But most of the time, this is flash. These are flash contents, and they are sometimes difficult to archive. But we want to archive everything, all the context, and all the website.
Yes, hello. My name is Markus Fries. I have the question, what makes you come to the conclusion that the web nowadays is not a broadcast media? You mentioned that in the beginning of your...
Yes, because by broadcast, I mean a broadcast stream that is the same for all the users. So this is the case, not technically, but you can consider that this is the case for live radio or live TV on the web. But this is really a tiny part of the web. This is not the real web. And in fact, the web is... A lot of pages are generated on demand and are different every time you click on a link. So every user will have a different experience and will browse different pages.
Yeah, but if I, for example, take the German Telekom as an example, having all the broadcasters, such as the public broadcasters as well, in their content, I think it is much more a broadcast media than we all think, and it will become more and more important every day. So it will be more and more data to take care of. Isn't that true?
You mean the broadcast video and,
yes,
and radio?
Yes, yeah.
Yes, that's true.
I simply would like to support Howard Bessel's view. This is what you are doing. I, as an historian also, I admire very much what you do, and you will be commended by the researchers. But it's actually what you are going to do is almost a critical publication instead of an archive. So again, my question is, where is the border for your efforts? The question I would like to pose is, you say you would like to develop tools to help the researcher to organize and exploit these clues. Is this now a technical tool? Which then would make your paper a paper in a technical symposium?
We don't know yet what tool it will be, because that's the point of the methodological workshops, to obtain such a tool.
Okay.
This will be a technological tool, because for now we have a web browser that with special things like you can change the date and you can search inside the archive and so on, but we want to develop more features to help the researcher.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. I think you probably have to wrap it up now. Let me pass over.
Message, listen carefully. I shall say this only once. We meet 6:45 at the City Hall, just down the block here, with tickets. Then the National Library is open, the secretariat there is open with pigeonholes and everything, computers, and the, the Mediatek is also open till 6. Both are open till 6. You can visit, and this goes for 3 days, today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. And if you explore the National Library, remember not to take bags up the stairs. There are closets to put your bags in. Welcome, and see you tonight.